Good morning. Thank you, Kevin, for that introduction. So about a month ago, as I'm preparing to teach on the gift, on what it means, what being an apostle, what that role means within a church in the body of Christ, Ruthann and I go to see the newest Mission Impossible movie called Mission Impossible Fallout. We're sitting, we've got great seats, the movie starts, and I'm not going to give away the story or anything like that, other than I had to look up online how old Tom Cruise is, knowing he's doing most of his own stunts, and knowing that our creative team had a great idea that somehow I should flip out of the ceiling and wind up on the stage. That has nothing to do with what I want to teach this morning. Here is what made me speak out loud in the theater, and all I said was, "You must be kidding." There's a group of evil leaders who are called the apostles. And I'm the only one in the theater who spoke at that point. "You must be kidding." Great intro, has nothing to do with what a real apostle is. Have a look on the screen behind me at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11, I think, through 16. And we're going to read, please follow along. "So Christ himself gave," and just, nobody comes with a paper Bible anymore. So highlight, so if you have one of those old-fashioned things and a thing called a pen, you can underline those three words. If not, you can highlight those three words. "So Christ himself gave." And what we want just to refocus at the beginning of this morning is this is where we go to find out, what do these things mean? What do the titles mean? What do the giftings mean? What do the roles mean? They're rooted in what Jesus gave. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Why? To equip his people for works of service, underline this phrase, so that the body of Christ may be built up. All of these giftings that we've been talking about this morning is so that you and I together can learn to become the community of Jesus where he has planted us, and build us up and make us strong until we reach unity in the faith. All right, there's a oneness that rises up and makes us strong way beyond what we can do on our own, and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the measure of the fullness of Christ. It just means we need each other to walk in the way of Jesus and to keep learning about who he is and who we are. And then Paul says, "Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love," just highlight that, "we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head." In other words, that is Christ, or that is Jesus. "From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Practical word of exhortation. When it comes time to fold up the chairs and stack them, do not let Kevin touch those chairs. He's got a herniated disc and two bad knees and a servant's heart that will forget, and he will pay the price about 6 o'clock tonight. Don't let him touch the chairs. All right, you understand? He is a ligament that is not designed to stack chairs. Got it? Amen. 6 years ago, I am just outside of, way outside of Nairobi in rural Kenya in a very poor area, and there's a team of five of us who are leading a training event. And we're standing in a circle and praying. And I looked down, and at my feet, there's a diamond earring. I thought, wow, the Lord provides, isn't that? Hallelujah. So I bent down, and I picked it up at the end of the prayer. I only had my eyes open while we were praying. I bent down and picked it up and I said, does anyone, and we had two women on our leadership team, did anybody lose a diamond earring? And one of them spoke up right away, I lost that yesterday. Paul, you are a prophet and an apostle. And I went, here's your earring. That is not the criteria for identifying the gift of apostleship. Actually, if you look up this word on the internet, you are going to find all kinds of extremely creative ideas about what an apostle is, and most of them have very little to do with what Scripture teaches. Most of them take a phrase here and a word there and come up with amazing ideas that mostly have to do with exalted power and authority and the exclusive retention of what I would call spiritual mystery. And so in many parts of Christianity, there is this really warped and twisted understanding of who is an apostle. And even when you say that term, you want to stand up and salute or do something because that's the impression that has been created historically. And now, especially in the places where I travel in Africa and Asia, it's just out of control just about. So I want to show you, I'm not going to speak on every single one of these names, but I want us to know together that our teaching team is not making this stuff up. This stuff is recorded in Scripture and says this is how the church is made strong. Have a look at, first of all, there's 9 apostles. I'm not going to read every Scripture. In fact, I'm not going to read any of them. But we're familiar maybe with Paul and Barnabas. But look at all of these guys, Andronicus, Junius, Epaphroditus, you know what? And I better stop pronouncing these names and let you read them for yourself. There's 9 people who are identified as apostles, all right? So we know, okay, this is a group who are part of a leadership team in the local church. Look at teachers. In addition to the ones that we are very familiar with, Luke and Mark and Paul and so on, Tertius, who is ascribed to Paul, is most often identified in extra-biblical literature as a teacher as well, Tyrannus, and so on. Look at this list of pastors, those who have the gift of pastoring. And you can work on pronouncing those, as I do from time to time. You know what? I'm sorry. I realized that my mistake, I didn't write the scriptures down for Epaphras, but he's mentioned twice in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 7, chapter 4, verse 12, and in the book of Philemon. And then look at the prophets. There's a group of those, a couple of evangelists referred to in Acts and Colossians, and then what I call apostolic delegates. What I mean by that is I think these people were named as those who were growing in this gifting, but they're not given the title. I don't know what else to call them. And then there's a group who don't have their giftings identified. But all I'm wanting to do with these lists is say, this is where this series is coming from. It's coming from what the Bible says about how the church was put together and led by teams, and how these gifts are absolutely essential for one another. Look at this scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it, and God has placed in the church, first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are they all apostles? Are they all prophets? Are they all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? And these are rhetorical questions because the obvious answer is no. Can I say at this point, there is no such thing, at least in my lifetime, that I know of a pastor who has all 5 of these major areas of giftings. It's not meant to be that way. I've met a couple who claim to have all 5 giftings, and they're very frightening people. this passage is a problem. And it's a problem because Paul says first, second, third, and then he stops numbering. And the commentators have an enormous amount of creative license with this passage in 1 Corinthians 12, because most commentators see this as Paul prioritizing the giftings. And there is some evidence for that, just in terms of the function, and we'll talk about that in a minute, of who, of someone with apostolic gifting, how they function in the body. I get that. But if you look at what Paul says about himself as an apostle, about the gift of apostle, I'm not so sure that what he's doing in 1 Corinthians 12 is ordering in terms of priority or ordering in terms of importance. Is he intending to create a list? Yes. Is it exhaustive? No. And because not everything is included in that list, then it's very difficult to build a strong argument to say, this is the order in which everything is done. When Paul looks back on his time in the city of Corinth, he writes in Romans 12 that whatever our gift is, it is exercised by faith, right? And it is characterized by building up. So whether it's an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a teacher, if they're not building up, they're not using the gift properly. Romans 12, verses 3 to 8. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Just stop right there. It does not matter what gifting Christ has given to us in who we are and how he is forming and developing our skills. This is important, that no matter what our gift set is, that we do not begin to get deceived by current Christian culture, even, to say, well, clearly I am more important than you. Paul says, no. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but think of yourself with sober, or literally sound, judgment. What is that? That's the kind of thinking that Paul says is in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each one of you. God has given you faith. In fact, everybody has faith, Christian or not Christian. Every human being lives by faith. We put our faith, obviously, in different things, different people, different circumstances, but human beings live by faith. And Paul writes in Romans 12, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts. Here it is, according to the grace given to each of us. So, you don't find diamond earring on the carpet and get prophetically identified as an apostle. No, that's not how gifts are identified. And then Paul goes on and he says, whatever your gift is, exercise it in faith. Now, jump ahead to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9, and this is all by way of introduction. What are we talking about? Paul says, it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession. And for us, when we watch a parade or we see a procession, you know, the person coming at the end is usually the most important. Nuh-uh. Not in Paul's day and not what he's writing here. He says, no, those who are at the end are like those condemned to die in the arena. We have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels, as well as to human beings. That puts things in a new light, doesn't it? So we go back and we say, and many commentators will write about, the gift of apostolic leadership is number one. Well, maybe, for reasons of function, but not in terms of importance. Paul is saying, no, I write to you as an apostle, who's the one who has been given the gift of apostleship. And he said, you know what? I feel like we, as a team of apostles, are at the end. We're at the back of the line. And the ones at the back of the line are prisoners coming to be executed. The sign of an apostle, let me just say this, is a willing weakness in the cross of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is saying. Do you aspire to leadership? Do you aspire to being identified and having the gift of apostolic leadership rise up in you? Then long for a willingness to be weak through the cross. Not a desire to be first. How do we get, as we look at this whole series of teachings, where do we go with it? I love the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It says, "We, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but will confine our boasting to, listen to this, the sphere of service God himself has assigned to us, a sphere that also includes you." And then a little bit later on, he says, "Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our sphere of activity among you will greatly expand so that we can preach the gospel in the regions beyond you." Now Paul is starting to say, this is what an apostle is. So first question, how do we identify our sphere of service? That's a key phrase. I say three things: a personal sense of call, a relational responsibility, and the corporate witness of the Holy Spirit. So let me say those things again. A personal sense of calling. You see this in yourself. A relational connection is important. And then the corporate witness of the Holy Spirit. What I mean by that is many in the Christian community you're part of will, from time to time, just can't help themselves by saying, "Wow, you are this person, or this kind of gifting is in you, and you can't help yourself. This is who you are." And listen to those comments when they're made to you, because that's how the Holy Spirit stirs up in you. Oh, okay, this is who I am becoming. As Christ is the head of the church, he has given to us, or entrusted to us, what Paul calls a sphere of service, an arena, or an area of leadership and influence within apostolic regional responsibilities. There is most often a deep sense of partnership and unity. I've been part of a few of those teams, and probably where I learned the most about this was being part of an apostolic team in the city of Winnipeg. And I was amazed. Nobody had ever taught me about this, and I just was so amazed that I was praying every Monday morning with a group of guys who cared passionately about the city of Winnipeg and who kept stirring us individually and together as a team. Come on, what's next? What's next? Paul writes not only about good apostles, he also writes about false apostles. And we got to remember that all of these giftings are meant to build up the church, right? So how do we recognize who might have the apostolic gift here in this church or in our own life? Well, number one, which I've already referred to, is these gifts are recognized by leaders. And they're always looking. Those with the gift of apostleship are always looking for who has what gifting. We need those. We need apostolic gifting in the church, if for nothing else, for the critical role in identifying. We see this in the first apostolic team when they identified Matthias to replace Judas in Acts chapter 1. We see this in how Paul and Barnabas were set aside or identified to go as apostolic leaders. They were identified by the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands of those who were responsible for leading. Why are there apostles? I've spent the last week driving back and forth to Winnipeg helping Mike and Liz move their belongings out of the condo they sold into storage, which happened to be the storage unit called our garage, and then moving many loads from our garage to the new place they had, only to discover that the guy who was doing renovations was about a week behind. Okay, why don't you come and live with us? It's been a really amazing adventure. We still love each other. Here's why I'm talking about this. They decided that this one big bedroom, which was way bigger, they had like two huge master bedroom suites. So, okay, let's turn this into two bedrooms. No problem. So the renovators come in, tear down the wall. Guess what they find in the wall? Asbestos. Somebody whispered that. And everything stops. And the renovation team gets out, right? Nobody wants to breathe in asbestos. So there's this enormous delay until all of this is taken out. Mike and Liz decided they wanted new light fixtures, not in the ceiling. Don't touch the ceiling. Here's the point. The Bible is clear that the way we build up one another, the way we construct, the way we do renovations to the community is absolutely critical. Build the wrong foundation, put the wrong insulation in a wall, and I tell you, you are making pain for people who are coming behind you. Why are there apostles? To make sure that the way things are built and the way things are multiplying and the direction the body is going, they have a critical leadership role in that process. Apostles, let's talk about their character. They're able to see the potential giftings in the body of Christ. They're able to see clearly where we need to go and what needs to be done. Apostles tend to focus on the big picture. They work closely with prophets and teachers if they're functioning with maturity in their gifting. Let me add that. They sense and discern spiritual dynamics, what's working well, what's not. We need apostles, prophets, and teachers, especially in the design of teaching series. And we just met Friday morning as a teaching team. And, you know, the interaction between our team is excellent. And we need different giftings and different leading of the Holy Spirit to sense, God, what should we be learning in November? What should we be learning in June? Or January? June's too late. Next year. And then the apostles are the one who keep saying, no, we can't get comfortable here. The goal of Coast Hills is not just to fill this room. Come on, we got to keep pushing out the walls. We got to keep moving ahead. Now, can I tell you about the dark side of apostolic gifting? And I learned this rather painfully. If someone in the body of Christ has apostolic gifting and it's not recognized, they're not permitted or encouraged or blessed to exercise that in the context of team, you know what I discovered in my leadership? Some of the people who I have previously labeled as chronically discontent, some truly are chronically discontent, just broken and severely damaged. But I want you to know that some who are chronically discontent are discontent because they don't know what to do with the gifting that is growing up inside of them. Can you see that in how we describe the character of an apostle? If the church, or if the denomination, or if the nature of the community just pushes down and restricts and controls and wants to manage everything, because these stirrings that we've been talking about these 2 months, they make leadership messy. They just do. There was a point in my life that I actually had to sit down with a woman that I respect highly. In fact, she is our main intercessor for me and Ruth Ann. But I got to a point where I sat down with her and I said, okay, like, I want you to know I'm done working with anybody who says they have the gift of prophecy. I was ready to pull out my hair. And she helped me distinguish between an unhealthy exercise of that gift and a healthy exercising. So I want you to know that if you're, you know, you're sitting here and you can't hardly stand coming every week because it's just, you're almost beside yourself because you see what we should be doing next or you see what is just limited, then please, can you go and spend time with Kevin? Serious. We need apostolic gifting in this place. And if you find yourself developing a chronic discontent and you're struggling with disillusionment with the church as a whole, I think there are many people who have stopped coming to church, not all, but many, for the wrong reason. Because they're so frustrated and they're chafing and they're wanting to shut down what the Holy Spirit is wanting to raise up in them. That's why we're doing this series. Lord, help Coast Hills to be a community that draws in, doesn't push down and push out. Guard your heart. I know I'm saying this out of my own experience. Many times I have been right at the edge of quitting. Just like, give me a John Deere tractor, I'll go cut grass for the rest of my life. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's not what God has called me to. All right, we're almost at the end. Here's what apostles do. All right, so we've talked about the character, where the character comes from, a bit about how it blends in essentially to the strengthening and the building and the expanding of the church of Jesus. Here's what they do. Number one, they start new things. Okay? If you are sitting here and you've been involved in starting new things, I want you to think carefully. What is the gifting that God is stirring up in you? Apostolic leaders have a remarkable ability to get things off the ground. They're just startup geniuses. Because that's who God has wired them to be. And many of them, the way they're recognized is a trail of new things behind them. There's a trail of communities. All kinds of new things. So here's the question. In our network, whose vision is behind new initiatives? Whose vision, whose push, whose excitement is behind the new creative things? And if there's not new creative things, we need apostolic gifting in many leadership areas in our church. Number two, apostles demonstrate spiritual intensity. And I would even go as far as to say, those with apostolic gifting have unusual spiritual intensity, especially focused on where we need to go. They're zealous for God's mission, for God's people. Their passion leads them to act, even when everyone else is saying, no, we can't do that. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough people. It's too soon. Those with apostolic giftings will not be shut down. They're really annoying sometimes. They just, come on! Oh, be quiet and sit down. Their passion in obvious. Often I look in my own life, and when I was younger and less experienced, I found myself passionate about everything. And that's not a good thing, because sometimes young, emerging leaders with apostolic gifting get excited about the wrong things. But we can't allow immaturity of gifting to stop the gift. Don't let that happen. They demonstrate spiritual intensity. Number three, they think structurally. Those with apostolic giftings are kind of always thinking about systems and structures to make things stronger, to make things better. Okay, let's change this big room and make it into two. Talking about my own son and daughter-in-law. They're constantly wanting to redesign and mess with things. And some of us have giftings where, please, will you stop changing? Okay? I don't like change. Some of us, just, you know, can you just kind of build this box, leave it a box. Don't turn it into a circle. But people, we need apostolic gifting to keep redesigning. Why? So that the fruit of the Holy Spirit and the blessing of God upon his people keeps rising, keeps increasing, keeps growing. That's what I mean by thinking structurally. Here's the question. Let me ask a question on behavior number two. Who in our community radiates an almost exhausting expression of intensity? Do you know somebody who's intense? Do you avoid them? They might be those who are just developing the gift of apostleship. Bring them in. In terms of thinking structurally, who in our community is regularly coming up with better ways to structure your ministry for greater momentum? You might be the kind of person who says, I do not want an apostle on my leadership team. I don't want to keep growing. I don't want to keep multiplying. You know what? Bring them on your team and get out of their way. All right? Sorry, that was a little blunt. Number four, these are closely related. Apostles, those with the gift of apostleship, express a burden for expansion. And what I mean by this is, you know, if you're sitting here this morning and you see there's 5-10 chairs, nobody's sitting in the front row, where are those people? Where are they? If you're the one who comes into this space and says, you know what, my heart is for those who should be in those chairs. Where are they? How do we find them? How do we get mobilized? How do we become more effective in the community where we live? God has assigned you a sphere of influence. That's an indication. Okay, number five. Who in our community is championing? I couldn't even say it when I typed it. Who is functioning as a champion for the lost, for the broken, for the disenfranchised, for the people who've been maybe damaged by church and are looking for a safe place? If you're one of those people, come on. God may be stirring up in you this very gift that we're talking about. Number five, there are some people who always respond to big challenges. The bigger, the more impossible, they're the ones who jump up first. Who are they? Who are they in this community? We need them. We need champions to stand up and say, no, this is possible. Anything is possible in the name of Jesus. They lead us to intercede. They lead us in exercises where our faith is increased. They lead us to remember the experience of faith in this body. Do you remember the day when God did this? Do you remember when he healed this broken person? Do you remember? That's another evidence of that apostolic gifting. So who are the people in our community that lead us to respond to big, big challenge? And finally, these are the people who see how moments can become movements of God. You know what I mean by that? Is these are the people who will see something happening and recognize God has a word for us in this moment. And most often what they see is the move of God. God is allowing this to happen. We're struggling. We're in tears together for a reason. Or there is an outpouring of generosity. Why? What is God saying? Do you see how vital this part of the leadership gifting is for a church to keep going? Do you also see how this gifting can get discouraged? How the wind, you know, as Kevin was saying, instead of God breathing in the wind, it's those who have apostolic gifting that can have the wind taken out of them. Let's be a community who embraces these stirrings of God, all of them. We had a table that actually Kevin found for us in a marvelous book. In fact, calling, I think the title of the book, Kevin, remind me, The Church as a Movement. Yeah. And so we designed the series around this understanding of these five environments. I think we had a little bit of trouble with the picture, so we're going to just review them one at a time. I think they're on the screen, are they? I'm sorry. Glenn, thank you. Actually, Glenn, never mind. Sorry, I don't want to put you on the spot, but you keep us reading and you keep us learning. It's an amazing thing. Okay, don't get sidetracked. The people gift is the gift of apostle. Is that there? Five environments. The environment is, no, it's actually a little wrong. The environment, oh, we're starting with the gift of pastor. Is that what's behind me? All right, let's start there. Pardon me? Yeah. There we go. Wish it could be, and it appears. The environment around this gifting is the environment of thriving. And people, when you come and we gather together, whether it's at a picnic or sitting in this room, and there is a feeling that this place is thriving, you'll be here. And you won't want to miss what God is going on. The description, love this. Helping the community step out into new territory, living out their sentness in their neighborhoods and networks by multiplying disciples, ministry, and missional communities. Let's look at number two, profit. Profit. The environment is liberating. Okay, not speaking in a way that's controlling and managing, but speaking with the very voice of the Holy Spirit and lifting up and setting free. I love this. Helping the group pursue God, experience liberation or freedom from personal and social sins, and standing with the poor and the oppressed in the power of the Holy Spirit. Number three, the gift of evangelist. The environment is welcoming. Praise God for how many in this community have the spiritual gift of welcoming. If you're not welcoming on the welcoming team, get on that team. Because you are the one that when you smile, you radiate the breath of God. You understand that? Helping the community extend the table of fellowship to all, especially though society is marginalized by being witnesses of His great love. Isn't that awesome? What a great gifting. Do you know that if you have that gift and you're the one standing at the door, when you smile, it's so much better than when I smile. Ruth Ann and I, we don't welcome as a team anymore. Because when we used to stand and welcome, everybody went to Ruth Ann, and I got really ticked. Why? Because she has that gifting. Sorry, I said I wouldn't get sidetracked here. Gift of pastor. The environment is healing. Isn't that beautiful? That a great pastor shepherd is an agent of healing. Huh. The way they pray, the way they remember, the way they are present and leading and ministering to the body, helping people embody reconciliation as well as work through their past hurts and move toward a sense of wholeness in the context of community. I would add a little bit to that I think the gift of pastor shepherd is also a God-given ability to see the need, not just of the individual, but the community. And you see how these things work together. You need apostles and prophets and teachers, especially to say, this is what I think we need to be learning. This is a ministry that we need to be starting. And all those gifts work together. And last but definitely not least, the gift of teaching. And the environment is learning. People, if we stop learning, we're dying. The gift is helping the community inhabit. I love that word, inhabit. Dwell in God's story in such a way that the community teaches one another what it means to live into God's future in an everyday way. If you've missed some of these teachings, get them online and listen. What a great way to begin this fall together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for who you are in our midst. You are the one from whom life comes. You are the one who holds us. Lord Jesus, we lift up your name. You are at the center of who we are. We thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you for the Word, the living Word, and your ministry and your gifting and your strengthening, our leadership and who we are as people together. I thank you for this summer together and this series. Stir up in us, Lord. Stir up in us according to the sphere of influence you've called us into. Stir up in us according to the design and the gifting that you are calling us to walk in. And may we stir one another up and encourage that. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.